I certainly thank God for the fervent prayer been offered here tonight publicly, and ask you to continue to be in prayer for me as I endeavor to preach to you. This evening I want to begin by noticing with you a verse of Scripture in Acts chapter 13 and verse 18. In about the time of 40 years, suffered he their manners in the wilderness. This is an account of how God was dealing with the nation of Israel while they were in the wilderness. And about the time of 40 years, keep that thought in mind, 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. This morning I endeavored to preach some on the subject of time and was encouraging us not to waste the time that God gives us here in this life, because first of all, we don't know how much more time we've got. As I mentioned this morning, Reed Sims' daughter, 62 years of age, passed away this week. And she was seemingly in good health and started having pain in her stomach. And before the ambulance could get there, she had passed away. So none of us know how much time we have, but what time we have, we don't want to waste it. We want to use it in the way that God would have us to spend our time on earth. Because after all, time is a gift from God, and we should seek His guidance and His will for our lives. But here in verse 18 of Acts 13, we are told that Israel wasted 40 years in the wilderness. Just wasted it. Let's read it again. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. God had brought Israel out of Egypt under the blood of the Passover lamb. He had brought them through the Red Sea and into the wilderness on their way to the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. And the Bible tells us in the book of Exodus it would have been about an 11-day journey from the Red Sea to the River Jordan, which would have been an entrance into the promised land. 11 days. That's not even 2 weeks. And they turned it into a 40-year journey in the wilderness. 40 years. They just wandered out there in the wilderness, going around in endless circles in the desert, when they could have been in the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, let's look at this text a little closer tonight. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. That is, God suffered. God put up with their rebellion, their disobedience, their lack of faith, their idolatry, their murmuring, their complaining. God suffered. Did you know God can suffer when His children live in disobedience? I don't know what an absoluter would do with that text. Now you may say, Brother Sam, what is an absoluter? Well, that's a term that's some shop talk among primitive Baptists. But what the term absoluter means is, absoluters believe that everything that happens on this earth, God absolutely predestinated it to come to pass. That's absolute predestination. God predestinated before the world began that I snap my finger. Now, how many of y'all believe that nonsense? We don't believe that. Now, there are things that God has predestinated, and those things will come to pass. And he has predetermined or predestinated that all of the elect will live with him in heaven someday and be conformed to the image of his son. So we do believe in the doctrine of predestination, but we're not fatalists. We don't believe that everything that happens in this world, God prearranged it and predetermined it. Elder Daugherty used to say that people who preach that have either done something they shouldn't have, or they're wanting to do something they shouldn't, and they want to blame God on it. In other words, I can't help it. The old can't help it doctrine. Have you ever heard people say, I just can't help it? Well, I want to tell you, that is not Bible doctrine. It's false doctrine. So God did not predestinate that the nation of Israel stay out there in the wilderness for 40 years. He didn't predestinate that, but he suffered it. Did y'all hear that word? He suffered it. Let's read it again. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. That is their behavior, their way of behaving. God suffered it for 40 years. Now I'm going to tell you, that's 40 wasted years when God's children could have been living in the land of promise. Now, I want to look with you just a moment this evening to a passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. Did you know Paul used that a lot? He doesn't want us to be ignorant. There are things you and I don't need to be ignorant about, and this is one of them. I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. Now, Paul is going to give the Corinthians a history lesson. See, the Corinthians were not Jews. They didn't know the history of Israel like the Jews did. But Paul is going to teach them a lesson coming out of Jewish history. He says, moreover, brethren, writing to the Gentiles in Corinth, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now he's talking about the nation of Israel being delivered from Egypt's slavery and bondage through the Red Sea. All our fathers were under the cloud. You remember a cloud followed Israel out there in the desert? That cloud led them, and they were under that cloud. It was a special cloud. It wasn't just like a cloud we'd see here, but it was a special cloud that God sent to Israel. And our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. That is the Red Sea. Do you know how many people went through the Red Sea? Everyone God wanted to go through it. The whole nation of Israel went through the Red Sea. Did all eat the same spiritual meat. I tell you a good lesson for y'all sometime when you have time is just to read this chapter and count how many times the word all is used. Well, let's just look at it. All passed through the sea and were all baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The four times, I think, maybe five, Paul uses the word all. Now, he wants us to get it. Anytime he's going to use the word all in two or three verses, he wants us to understand that everybody under consideration experienced this glorious deliverance from Egypt into the wilderness. And I believe the Bible would indicate that these Jewish people are representative of the entire elect family of God out of every nation, family, and kindred and tongue. See, they came out of Egypt under the blood of the Passover lamb. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. He didn't say, when I see your faith or your good works or your obedience or your righteousness, I'll pass over you. No. You know what saved Israel from death that night? It was the blood of the Passover lamb. The lamb was slain. An innocent lamb died in the place of these guilty Jews. And that blood sheltered them and protected them from the wrath of God. And God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And you know what's going to save us in the final day? The blood of Jesus. That's going to cover us and protect us. And we praise God for that fact. So they all, everybody that God wanted out of Egypt, under the blood, got out. But now let's notice verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, beloved, many of them that came out under the blood and were saved from Egypt, many of them were not pleasing God because they were overthrown in the wilderness. And they turned an 11-day journey into a 40-year wandering in the desert. Now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as some of them, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples for us, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So Paul is writing to these dear people in Corinth and saying to them, you're children of God, you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, but if you're not careful, you can waste your life like the Israelites did in the wilderness. Wasted years. 40 years wandering out there in the desert. And how many that got out of Egypt over the age of 20 got into the promised land? Do y'all remember? There was only two. Joshua and Caleb. That's the only two that got into the promised land above the age of 20. God said that, you know, the younger ones didn't know good from evil. I'm not holding them accountable. But to the rest of you, I'm holding you accountable. Now, we believe as old Baptists that all of God's elect people are going to be in heaven by grace alone. We believe that. We rejoice in that. It'll be a great multitude that no man can number. But we also believe that many of the elect who are born again and saved by grace can choose to live in disobedience. They can choose to murmur and complain and live in rebellion to the cause of God and never enter into the church that Jesus set up here in the world. And multitudes of God's children today who will be in heaven with us for all of eternity are living in a wilderness right now because of their rebellion, their disobedience, their unbelief, their unfaithfulness in the service of God, and they're wasting so much time. So, beloved, let's go back to Acts 13 just a moment. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. So, you and I need to be very careful that we don't waste the time that God is giving us while we're here on this earth. I want to turn with you now to a text that I wanted to get to this morning, but didn't have time. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, the wise man Solomon would say, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Did that word "now" jump out at you? In this translation here, the N-O-W is in capital letters. N-O-W. Now. Now is the day of salvation. The Bible says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Did y'all hear that? That's over in Paul's letter to the Hebrews. Today, if you will hear his voice. Now, we know, as far as the life-giving voice of Jesus in the new birth is concerned, everyone will hear it and will be born again. Jesus said, "The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." But there's also a sense in which God is calling us to service in his kingdom, and we might not obey. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Beloved, a hard heart is a, that's serious heart trouble right there. Hardening your hearts. And so Solomon would say, "Remember now thy Creator." When? When you're old and feeble and worn out, and you just don't have enough energy to go out in the world anymore and live a riotous life? No. He said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil years come not nigh." You know, beloved, if Jesus Christ, our Savior, who gave himself for us on the cross, and by the way, he was on this earth in his body only 33 years. But I want to tell you, he never wasted a second of it. We sing an old song, "From the cradle to the grave, not a moment's time was lost." He didn't waste his life. He gave it freely for us on the cross. Now, if my Savior gave himself for me on the cross, don't you all think that I should remember him in the days of my youth? Now, my youth is gone. But we have young people here tonight, and I want to just say to the young that are here this evening, I want you all to remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Why would somebody spend the energy and the enthusiasm and the excitement of their youth? Why would we offer that on the altar of Satan and the world, and come at old age just to offer our Savior the ashes of a misspent life? Wouldn't that be tragic? Are y'all listening? No, we don't want to wait until we've given our best to the world and the flesh and the devil. We want God's children in their youth to remember him. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." And what does it mean to remember your Creator? That is to think about him, to meditate on him, to walk with him, to keep your heart and mind focused on your Creator. We all believe in the creation of the heaven and the earth by the hand of God. We believe there is a Creator, and we want to remember him. We want to draw near to him. We want to stay close to him and in fellowship with him. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil year, while the evil days come not." And the word "evil" here in this text, I think, means years of old age, years of inactivity. Oh, and he goes on to describe a very scientific description of the aging of the human body. Let's just look at it a moment. while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Solomon here is describing the aging process of the human body. When the eyes get dim, and in those days when people would have cataracts and they couldn't remove them, their vision would be very dim, and they couldn't see the sun, the light of the sun or the moon or the stars. It was all dark. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. And that's just Solomon's way of describing the nervous system that helps us to hold our hands feeble. But if you live long enough, it'll probably get to where you can't hold a cup like I'm holding this one. Your hands will tremble. Your body will tremble. In the day when the keepers of the house, and the house is talking about this body we live in, the tabernacle, it shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves. You know, there are people who used to stand up tall and strong, and over time they began to bow and they began to bend over, and they shall bow themselves, and the grinders shall cease, talking about the teeth, because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. In other words, they can't hear like they once could. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. In other words, you'll enjoy reading this at your leisure, but Solomon is describing in a very scientific way the aging of the human body. I'm experiencing it. And some of y'all are experiencing it. It's just, I tell you, I've said this a lot of times, time is not a good makeup artist. Have y'all noticed that? I mean, sometimes, sometimes when I get up in the morning, I look in the mirror. I don't mean to be funny, but I'm just, I look in the mirror and I say, who is that old man? Y'all, now the kids, I know they don't experience that, but it happens to the body. The time is not a good makeup artist. Time is making a change in us. We don't have a lot of time, and what time we have, we don't want to waste it. We want to remember our Creator. I want to turn with you now over to the New Testament, to some words that the Apostle Paul gave to the young preacher Timothy. And he would say to them in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Paul, the aged apostle, is writing to his young son in the ministry that he dearly loves. And he knows, Paul knows his time on earth is swiftly passing away. He understands that. In his second letter to Timothy, he acknowledges that his life is almost at an end. But he's giving this young brother some wonderful advice. He says, let no man despise thy youth. Listen, beloved, young people should be encouraged in the church. Would y'all agree with that? We want our young people to feel a part of the church. We want them to know they're loved, and they're vital, and they're needed in the house of God. And we certainly don't want to look down on them, or ignore them, or overlook them. Let no man despise thy youth. Timothy was a young brother, but God had called him to preach the gospel. And apparently Timothy was timid, and fearful in a way. So Paul writes to him and tells him, brother Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He wants Timothy to know, this spirit of fear that you're struggling with, that's not from God. God gives us power and love and a sound mind. Wasn't Paul a blessing to Timothy? I mean, you talk about a father in the ministry. Timothy was blessed to have a wonderful father in the ministry, the Apostle Paul. I tell you, Paul loved Timothy. And he spent a lot of time with Timothy. And he's encouraging Timothy. And I want to say to all of us tonight, we need young preachers in our churches. Desperately, we need young preachers coming along. And you know where they come from? They come from God. They don't come from seminaries. They come from God. Jesus said, I want you to look out on the harvest. He said, the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. He said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the vineyard. Well, I'm going to tell you, I believe the harvest is great today. But the laborers are few. You would be shocked if we had a record of how many of our ministers today among the Primitive Baptists from here to California are 70 years of age and older. You'd be shocked. We need young men coming along. And you know, you play a great role in that. You could be a big help in that by praying to the Lord of the harvest. I want to encourage y'all to make a note of this and be praying maybe every day, two or three times a day. Just say, Father, send us some young preachers. Not mama called and daddy sent. We don't need those. That's not the kind of preacher we need. Brother Cecil Daugherty's daddy, Freeman Daugherty, used to say, some are God called and some are God sent, and some just bundled up and went. Now, we've seen some of those, hadn't we? They can't feed the sheep or the lambs. They just kind of get in the way of those that can preach. We don't need those, but we need God called and God sent preachers. And I'm going to beg y'all. You know, people say preachers shouldn't beg people. I'm going to beg y'all. Paul begged the church at Rome. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren. And that word beseech means I beg you. I'm going to beg you all tonight to be praying that God would raise up young preachers to help carry on the work of the ministry. And so, Paul would say to this young brother, he's encouraging him. And I tell you, I have tried my best to encourage young men that I've known that saw evidence in them. Now listen, you can't expect a young man to just hit the ground preaching. It may take time. It may take a long time for them to develop that gift. But if they're studying and they have a burden to speak, and they're making some effort, and they are blessing the church, and they're not taking up a lot of time, let's encourage them. Would y'all agree with that? So Paul is a great encourager to this young brother. He said, let no man despise thy youth. You know, I remember Brother Sonny Powell saying one time that every church wants a young preacher with about 50 years experience. Y'all ever heard that? You know, we want a young preacher, but we want him to have a lot of maturity. Well, that's just not going to happen. He's going to have to learn as he grows up. I tell you, when I look back on my pitiful efforts, I know they're still not outstanding, but my goodness. I went with Elder Daugherty down to McClenny, Florida when I was 15 years old. And they called on me to speak. And I tell you, it was the most pitiful effort. There was a man there with an old reel-to-reel recorder. Do y'all remember those? These kids have never seen one, I'm sure, but the old reel-to-reel, I'd never seen one in a church house. But there was an old man at McClenny that had a recorder, and he recorded my effort. And you know, the people down there were so kind, and they just made me think I was, they made me think I was apostle number 13, just to be honest with you. I couldn't wait. I told the brother, I said, I want a recording of that. Well, he sent it. Finally came in the mail. And I borrowed a recording, an old recorder, an old tape recorder from Elder Robert Sanders. And I won't ever forget it. Mom and I was sitting in the hallway of our old house down there, and I couldn't wait to hear myself preach. I stood about 10 minutes, and if I said, oh yes, one time, I said it 100 times. That's about all I said was, oh yes. And I sit there, and I tell you, I just wanted to squall. That was the most pitiful effort. And I told Mama, I said, I'm just going to quit. Mama said, well, if you can, you ought to. You know, Mama wasn't the biggest cheerleader in the world. Her idea was, if you can quit, probably just means you weren't called. But you know what? Those brethren down there at McClenny were kind to me. And the church here was kind to me. And we want to be kind to those that are coming along, don't we? And let's pray that God's going to send us men that can preach the gospel and grow. Now listen, some just hit the ground preaching. Some takes years to develop. But Paul is encouraging this young brother Timothy, who is timid and struggling. And Paul says to him, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Wow. He's telling this young preacher, and Timothy could have been still a teenager. We don't know for sure, but we know he was young. And apparently there were people who were despising his youth and kind of making light of him as a young man. But Paul said, don't you let anybody despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word. That is in your talking, Timothy. I want you to be an example to the church. I want you to talk in such a way, not given to gossip, not given to criticizing people. I want you to talk in a way that's honorable and an example to the people. And in conversation, that is in your behavior, I want you to live in such a way that you're an example to the believers. In charity, Timothy, I want you to show love in your life to God's children. I want you to love them. And in spirit and in faith and in purity, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Paul is certainly not saying that the hands of the presbytery gave him the gift, but they recognized it. And so meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all. And so there is a place in the kingdom of God for the young. And I tell you, I want to encourage the young. I know this church does. I tell you, it grieves me when I go to churches and there's nobody there young at all. Isn't that sad? Somebody has failed to bring them up. The world wants our children. The devil wants them. The flesh wants them. But I want to tell you, we want them in the house of God. And let's just try to encourage them to give, to not waste their lives out here in the world, but to give their lives to the service of God. Thank you all for your attention tonight.